Good morning, Jean-François. We are happy here in Auroville to welcome you.
Thank you.
So maybe before to ask any questions about your work, maybe you I would be very interested to know about how do you make what is your life? Who are you exactly?
Well, I would define myself as a happy being, thriving human being, and working on cultivating that. And I could even define it as my full-time job, thriving. And of course, if you want to thrive, then you have to question lots of things from the conventional world that can prevent you from thriving. So through my whole journey from childhood to adulthood, I think I have explored many, many things and made many, many, many mistakes, trials and errors. Some of them very silly, some of them sometimes smart. But yeah, I had to go through all these things in order to find by myself, because I guess, you know, society or my family or the context where I come from could not give me many clues about that. So I had to find out for myself. In my late teenage, I tried to find a master, someone who could really guide me. I did not find this master, and very likely because my own master would turn into just, you know, life, what I learned from it and what I take from it. So I don't feel any disappointment by that. I just, you know, took this path, and I feel very happy with that today. So I can say that, yes.
Yeah. This is my personal behavior, that each one has a gift inside him, his personal gift, that he knows or he doesn't know, but that he's carrying through the childhood. What is yours specially?
Probably, maybe the key word that comes to me right now, maybe I would have another one in, you know, the next day, but right now, this moment, courage. Courage, really, because I guess most of my most important training came from finding courage. Sometimes, you know, making decisions when you know you might not survive physically the situation you go through, but you make this decision and hopefully you survive. I did, obviously. So yes, and even as a child, I had this awareness how much courage comes as one of those many important qualities, but maybe this one more for me, maybe because I needed more for myself. I don't know. Yes, and I also came with the gift of smartness, but that kind of smartness, I would say, with different sides. As a kid, as a smart kid, that does not makes you happy with other kids, because sometimes you develop, you know, some lines of intelligence and you go very far, but other lines you don't go as far as your friends. So you just have an imbalance, you know, which I experienced. But later on, as an adult, I really decided to unleash this intelligence, which I don't consider it as a personal quality. I don't think I own anything. I just have this, like, you know, we have arms and feet and I really decided, okay, I would unleash that. I would not stop that in order to play the game that, you know, people ask me to play. So it takes some training after you've locked your intelligence as a kid to comply to school, to comply to you know, getting accepted by others. And then later as an adult, you unleash that. I decided to unleash that, and I feel very happy with that.
Yes. As I know you now, maybe for 6-7 years, maybe something like that. This is my personal view. I see you as an explorator, you know. This is the good English word, I think, explorator.
Explorer, yes.
Explorer.
Yes.
Explorer. Right. A real explorer. You're not an explorer in the jungle, but you're exploring new things, which are astonishing. Can you just talk to us about the results of your because your life, as I see it since 7 years, is made of a lot of experimentation. So this is interesting me, what you have discovered.
So yes, each time you question the mainstream road and even the roads, you take a direction that has no path in front of you. You don't really know where you go. Well, you will always learn something, of course, through the trial and error thing. So I guess what I have explored the most consists in finding what conditions for myself and maybe for others, if they try it for themselves, what conditions will make me happier, a happier person, a happy person, a thriving person, a free person, a creative person, an artist. What helps for that? And so it makes me explore lots of things, what I call in my research field today, collective intelligence, what I call it, invisible architectures. You know, if you think architecture like a house, you know, you have walls and you cannot go through walls and you have doors or windows. And so it gives a whole set of rules of things you can do and things you cannot do. And we design architecture like a house for family life. And then we design architecture for a hospital to heal people. And we design a parliament for, you know, decision-making for a nation. And we design a train for, you know, traveling. So we do architecture for special outcomes in the physical world. But it works exactly the same way with social codes. Look at social codes, for instance. It defines a set of rules, of things, of walls you cannot cross, otherwise you will get in trouble, okay, by law, by your peers, and things you can do, okay? So it works exactly like physical architecture. So how can we design different social codes that will provide you with more freedom, with wider consciousness? So this comes as an example of what the kind of question I asked myself. And it has made me change some of the conventional social codes for which I don't want to play anymore. So for instance, I decided that in conversations, I would not take the floor anymore. And I would always breathe, have a long breath before I speak. Of course, not when we say hi, hello, you know, how you feel and all these things. But each time we jump in a conversation, just like right now, I would always speak with permission if people offer me the floor. So from a gift economy perspective, and after a deep, long breath. And that shifted everything in my life. Just changing this one gene in the social DNA, because I don't push my opinions. I don't pull people to me so that they listen to me. I just exist and produce fruits. And if someone feels interested by my fruits, then I feel absolutely happy to share. And this breathing, of course, has turned into an instant meditation. So even with one long breath like this one, it lasts maybe 10 seconds, 12 seconds, 8 seconds, sometimes 20, and maybe I can do a few more. But with that training, I learned how to go into meditation just like that. And that provides me with connectedness with myself, with my emotions, with my being, with you, with other people, with other beings, with the world, with the universe. It allows me to monitor my feelings and to allow inspiration to come. So I don't speak anymore from automated pilot. I speak only and only from inspiration. And if I don't feel this inspiration, then I will keep breathing because I don't want to speak from an automated pilot. So just, you see, as one example among many, many others, back to your question, exploring means, for me, exploring architecture and checking if I can change some architecture, like here in the social codes, how it may help my consciousness and my freedom to shift, to really go to the next level. And I could go on and on, you know, with architecture like food, or with technologies, or relationship to time, or sexuality, or in the economy, you know. So many things of the we that exist in the I, how the we, the collective, architectures the being. And so I feel absolutely passionate about exploring that.
This is a subject of the conference for next Saturday, I think, in the Cinema Paradiso next Saturday. Is that right?
Yes, I guess I will. I'll share lots of the things from direct experience, and a little bit of collective intelligence as a framework, also to understand, you know, how these architectures play in a wider view, in a wider context of collective intelligence and collective consciousness. But yes, I always feel happy to share that. But you know, if I also don't want to come with too much of a pre-planned kind of thing. So maybe this week I will sense something, you know, more important, or maybe the last second, and it will lead to something else. I don't know.
So it is the second time you, I think, you come to Auroville. Third time. Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's the second time that I meet you here, and I'd like to know why you coming here. Do you think a special energy here? Why you come here? What you looking for in coming here?
Well, first, wherever I see pioneers and explorers in the world, I feel attracted to them, and I have full respect for them. You know, people can so easily criticize Auroville for all the mistakes, and you know, the fact it doesn't move in the right direction, and all those things. But you have authentic people trying authentically to go, you know, to make some breakthroughs as human beings, as a society, as a collective. So each time I see something like that, pioneers and explorers, I want to go and visit them and share. You know, because I would never come with the idea that I would teach something or anything, but we have lots of things to share. So I learned lots and lots of things from Auroville, and I meet wonderful people. And if some of my own breakthroughs I can share, then I do it happily. So I come to Auroville, I would say, in the state of mind of, you know, meeting pioneers and explorers and share with them. And of course, like I guess anyone, I have a sense of, you know, many of the issues and challenges that Auroville has to face and to confront with. And I also want to sit and contemplate those challenges and see, you know, through my own evolutionary force, you know, listening to the inner drive for evolution, and see if it provides something with my own experience. Of course, nothing like instructions, you know, a user manual, or you guys should do that. But something maybe to put on the table, to add to everyone's experience and contemplate. So my stay will happen in, I would say, two parts. The first part, more like open and social and with communication with lots of people, meeting people here and there, going to meetings and so on. And the second part, likely, you know, starting the 3rd or 4th of January until the end of my stay, more like in a retreat mode, and with intimate spaces, likely 3 times a week, with whoever wants to come and discuss with me and talk with me, have a conversation. In that deep space, you know, not in a problem-solving mode. You see, I have the deep feeling that Auroville, and whatever comes next in the world will not only come from our reaction, like, you know, the problem-solving mode, like how can we solve the problem, today's problems in the world. It will really come from a creation. And so we not just have to solve things.
Creation means something else from reaction. Creativity, you mean?
Exactly. Creativity, just like artists. Yeah. You know, we want to invent the world, not just to fix this one and make some breakthroughs about energy, social issues, governance, you know, healthcare, education. Yes, of course. But each time we address the world as a problem to solve, we keep polarized and trapped into the problem-solving mode. And that it can trigger some creativity there. But once we know those issues, I think, okay, I know them, I'll put them aside, and now I go in my full joyful creativity. And I can remain an art, you know, exist as a thriving artist in my full creativity if I let go of the problems. If I spend my life in the problem-solving mode, in dealing with fires and emergency all the time, that won't make me a very happy person. And as an unhappy person and a trapped person in the problem-solving mode and the emergency mode, that won't liberate much of my creativity. And I will remain myself in that reactive, vital mode. And also a mental world, because the mental works well for defining issues to solve, okay, in the issue and problem-solving mode kind of duality. So the evolutionary part means that even in the middle of fire, even in the middle of fight, or what we consider as fire and fight, we can also go in this kind of inner slow motion and allow the artist to come and to redefine the rules, to redefine the dance. Hence the reason why I teach martial arts for that. Yeah. Not for fighting against people, but to allow in the midst of a vital context, like someone attacking you with a knife, you know, so we train for that. You can react, okay, you can fight against, you can solve the problem, or you can also invent something completely new, completely unexpected, that will completely shift the situation. But you can only do that if you have solved your vital fears, you know, your vital reactions, your body reactions in response. So I also come to Auroville with this kind of mind to see if we can, in the midst of all the emergencies, we can also create a space, a creative space, evolutionary creation, I would say.
Yes, and I think that we gathered the first question. It needs for Auroville, but for everyone, courage and creativity and exploration. And you are in the middle of that. You need courage for yourself. You need to be happy. This is your search, huh? And just to face the things with creativity. So, okay. So I think I would like to give you the last word, not to me, but to you. If there is anything else you would like to say to people from Auroville, because before we end up this interview. Mm.
Well, for me, besides the words and the concepts, and I want to acknowledge concepts and words and maps and all these things that I shared. But the body play we do in the morning, for me, I see it as the most important part of my own work and my own sharing. Because we play, we have fun, and we bring in the most vital part of our body. Imagine, you know, someone running at you with a knife, wanting to stab you, or a car or a tree falling on you. We have all these vital responses there. And how can we bring wisdom to this level when your most vital part gets threatened? If we can bring wisdom there and inspiration, and not just reaction, but creation, then we can bring it to all the other layers of the being. We can bring it to the emotional being. We can bring it to the mental being. We can allow, you know, all the stages of our consciousness to play, but this same way. But first, let's bring it in the body. So even the most abstract concepts can go in the body, in the physical body. So I like to share. For me, okay. It really has turned into my most joyful space of sharing.
Okay, so everybody can come, any age, and please let us know where it is, at what time and the dates then.
So yes, everybody can come, as long as you come with openness and joy and the will to really roll on the floor and to also explore your own edge. You don't need to come as an athlete, but at least you will face your own edge for sure. Okay, so you need to like it in the physical play. It happens every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings from 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Behind the Unity Pavilion. So if you arrive at the Unity Pavilion, you walk behind it and you will see a field there and people playing. So you can come there. Very welcome.
Yes. Thank you, Jean-François. And I invite all the English-speaking Orovillians to come to meet you next Saturday.
Yes,
next Saturday,
27th at 5 p.m. at the Paradiso.
Okay.
Yes.
So thank you very much, Jean-François. And have a good time here in Auroville.
Thank you, Roland. Thank you for opening the space for that.